Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Hear that thump. You know it's only one person. It's me, it's Mr. FSP. And I'm doing it because I can, and I'm actually up. So I'm going to beat my co-host when he does call in to the punch. I haven't been up lately. Just been exhausted, getting old and everything. But today is my youngest child's birthday, so I wanted to make sure that I had some fun with him and was able to get up and take on this show. And my co-host loves to put these different names of his up on the screen, and I'm going to bring him in. But before I bring him in, let me let you know what we're talking about today. Today we're going to discuss the NBA Finals, and preview the NFL Fantasy Divisions. We start doing that next month. So our next show on the 3rd, we'll have a preview of one of the divisions. With the NBA's first ever trilogy going on. Trilogy, not, you know, 1-2, then a couple of people play, then you play again. No. 1-2-3 championships of the same teams happening. First time ever in NBA history. Who will come out on top, the Warriors or the Cavs? We're going to discuss that. There's a lot of movement in the NFL. So we're going to discuss how that's going to impact your draft, as well as your chances at winning your fantasy football league this year. But without further ado, let me bring in my co-host, Mr. Oh, happy day, when Jesus comes. JTATM Money. What's up, JT?
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Vic came on. When Vic finally came on. Oh, happy day. What's up, man?
I'm so glad you could sing my praises. That's what you're supposed to do to the king.
You finally came on. You didn't hear that.
Of course not. The finally, I don't need to hear. But it's okay.
Happy day.
It's okay. Anyway.
Yes, sir.
What's happening?
Good to hear from you, my man. Good to hear from you, birthday man. I'm not going to say birthday boy. Birthday man. Good to hear from you. 1 year old. Hopefully you're 1 year smarter. And happy birthday or belated birthday to your to my name. Practically my namesake. His name is not Jerry. That's his probably nickname or whatever. But I have to say you named him in good taste. And that's
a
good thing.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you got it backwards. Today is his birthday. My birthday was last week. So his is a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
No, you said happy birthday to me, but happy belated birthday to him. So you had it back.
I meant to say happy belated birthday to you and happy present birthday to Jerry, even though his name is not Gerald. Jerry, it's what? Gerald?
No, Jeremiah.
Jeremiah. Okay, Jeremiah. I'm sorry, Jeremiah. Okay. And he's not a bullfrog.
No, he's not a bullfrog. He acts like one
sometimes.
Do
you know that song?
Yes, we know that song.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
all right.
Do.
Mm-hmm. That means you're not as old as I am, but you're old.
Oh, I will become your age one day, but that's a long ways away.
Hopefully you get there. Hopefully you get there.
Oh, I will. I will. Okay. I have no choice but to.
The power of positive thinking helps.
Plus a mortgage. I got to pay my mortgage off by the time I hit your age.
That don't mean anything. Don't guarantee you mortality. don't guarantee you immortality, I should say.
Well, that's going to help me. It's going to help me.
Yeah, okay.
But
okay.
Anyway.
That must mean that you are close to the process, if not finished the process. And it's just a matter of geography now.
It's just a matter of geography now, brother.
Okay. Well, congratulations. And I think it's coming very shortly, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right about that?
That is correct. That is
correct.
You
can't wait to leave that part of where you're at.
Oh, you just don't know. You just don't know. but
yes,
much like
yes.
the NBA, much like the NBA finals and the upcoming
yep.
football season,
yep.
I'm seeing
yep.
a mess where I'm headed. So it's going to be a bunch of mix. Ah, bro, we will have to talk offline. But equipment all over the base. Nobody signed for it.
Oh,
bad
God.
Bridges have been burned.
Wow.
New people in charge expecting things that the old person promised but never delivered. No office. Person that's about to get out. So,
wow. So you got an S4. You got a hold on. You got an S4. You got a supply
yeah.
sergeant. You got I'm trying to think who else is in that chain.
Well, no. No, we have. They're there, but they're the ones that have given everything all the way out, and some of it is across. Over here, when it shouldn't be, because nobody that's responsible for it is over here. So that's part of the problem.
Who signed on a dotted line for it?
The person that just changed out as a commander. Yeah, about that. So anyway, like I said, we'll talk about it offline.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get back to these. Let's talk about these NBA finals. And some football. Oh, I know. So here we go. It's a trilogy, first of its kind in the NBA.
Yep.
The NFL has seen something close to it, but the last time a trilogy happened in the NFL was the Cleveland Browns versus the Detroit Lions, and this was before they had the Super Bowl, where they merged the AFL and the NFL. Baseball, there's never been a trilogy. Mm-hmm. They've had teams go back to back to back, but never two teams to face each other back to back to back.
Exactly, yeah.
Hockey, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about hockey. I don't think hockey has seen this before. And there's a couple other teams or sports that haven't had this happen. Boxing, it happens a lot. But, you know, that sport's dying, according to Oscar De La Hoya, and I agree with him. But let's get to this. The Cavs lost one game in the playoffs to the Celtics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Warriors did not lose any games in the playoffs. When LeBron James felt that his legacy, so to speak, was being threatened, he and the Cavaliers ponied up and eliminated the Celtics. Now, to me, it doesn't matter who's on the floor because you're supposed to build a team, not just a set of star players. That's where a lot of teams mess up. They get three or four players and expect those three or four players to win the championship for them. And that's what I see in Cleveland. they have a bunch of role players that have not stepped up, while the three stars have carried the team. With that being said, if you look at the Warriors side of the ball or team, their actual bench is actually better than several starting lineups in the NBA. You got Iguodala, you got Livingston, who actually was a starter in the Brooklyn Nets. Iggy was a starter before he got traded to the Warriors, and then he even started then. You got David West, you got JaVale McGee, the center that likes to step on people's ankles. He's a backup, but he's always been a good player. Who else? That's right. Is Clay coming off the bench or is Clay starting? Because it's Steph, Clay, Draymond, and Kevin Durant, and whoever they want to plug in at center.
Clay Thompson starting.
Yeah. So you have a host of players there that can play together, have done so, and done it well. All season. So my mindset is, all right, well, if they come together and do what they're supposed to do and lock down Kyrie or play Kyrie really tough, and, you know, somebody, I would say Kevin Durant, because I don't want Kevin Durant covering or checking LeBron. That's an easy way to get Kevin Durant fouled out. Because for some reason, in the championship games, LeBron gets the ticky-tackiest fouls. You breathed on him like Lance did. Foul. You know, you touch him, it's a foul. But let him do the same thing to you, there is no foul. So,
You're hating on LeBron.
No, I'm not hating on LeBron. I'm not hating on him. I'm just saying in the championships, if you look at the history of it, the only time he really didn't get his way foul-wise is when he first went to the championship because people were like, okay, well, he's got to earn it. I'm not sure that's what the refs were saying, but that's the way he was treated. And when he played the Spurs, those are the only times that I've seen LeBron get or not get calls like any other NBA player in the championship game, or superstar, I should say. But I've seen it where he's gotten many, many calls when it's like, really? You didn't call it on the other end, but you're going to call it because it happened to him. And no, I'm not hitting on LeBron or Kyrie or Kevin Love or any of the other Cavs. What I'm saying is that the Warriors, in my opinion, are the better team and stand the better chance of winning this championship. I think it's important to note that regardless of if LeBron wins the championship or not, he's still one of the best players in NBA history, not the best player. All this talk about comparing him to Michael Jordan and all that. No, he's not. He didn't pass Kobe, in my opinion. And, you know, even Michael Jordan said he would put Kobe above him. And Michael even said he would probably lose to Kobe, but definitely not to LeBron. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's not all about LeBron in the championships, but
it sounds like you're hating on LeBron.
No, I'm not hating on him. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing and what I think. That's why I said, if Kyrie and Kevin Love are pretty much held in check. LeBron can get his 50, as long as Kyrie and Kevin don't get that same amount or close to it. That's how you beat him. You make sure you frustrate him. He'll take some shots or he'll give up the ball and that he normally wouldn't do. But with that being said, the refs can't call every ticky-tack foul if they're not going to call it on the other end. Now, if they're going to call it on both sides of the floor, then by all means, do so. But if you're not, then, you know, it's going to be tough to beat them. That's what I'm getting to. So I would put Draymond on him and let Iguodala sub in and out on him as well. But for the most part, I'd keep Kevin Durant off of LeBron for that reason, because Kevin Durant is a major scorer. Not saying Draymond can't be, but Draymond, if LeBron decides to take it to the post up, Draymond has a better body type to deal with that. But if LeBron decides to shoot from outside, Draymond's a detriment because he's not going to check him that great off the ball. I mean, coming off of a screen or anything like that. He's not that good at that. His thing is bodying you up, grabbing rebounds, and playing defense in the low post. If you put him out on the wing, you can blow by Draymond pretty much and, you know, go to the hole and either get a foul or and one and make things better for you and your team. For me, the key for Cleveland would be J.R. Smith, Shumpert, Kyle Korver, Channing Frye. These are the role players that have been surrounded or been put around LeBron so that he can, Kyrie, and Kevin Love can do what they do. But as of late, these individuals have not been that good. Now, Channing Frye has been okay. Tristan Thompson is a good rebounder. Not a good finisher, but a good rebounder. But he's not. You okay?
I'm fine.
Okay. He's a good rebounder, but he's not a good offensive player that can support those three individuals. But all three of them are healthy. So is several of the other Cavs, but so are the Warriors. Both teams look like they're at full strength, and this is going to be a very, very interesting finals, in my opinion. I do believe it's going to go at least six games with the Warriors coming out on top. What you got, Slim?
I got
nothing.
No, I got that the Warriors are, in my opinion, clearly the superior team. And that the quality of play between the two divisions wasn't even close, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree.
And the quality of opponent, unfortunately, it's diminished a little bit because of what happened in the Western Conference Finals with two players from the Spurs not being there. The most important being, quite naturally, their best player, Kawhi Leonard. I don't think it would have made a difference. I think the margin of victory would probably have been closer, and it probably would have cost the Warriors at least one loss, and that's speculation on my part. But with the big four, Thompson, Green, Durant, and Stephon Curry going against a big two, in my opinion, because I don't consider Kevin Love to be consistent enough to be a big two. Kyrie Irving and LeBron James, that, in my opinion, is no contest. They went against a weak, very weak. Not to say that this conference isn't coming up, because there's a lot of young talent in the Eastern Conference. quite naturally because these guys have been, a lot of these teams have been down for so long, and now they're, and because they've been down, they've been high, getting high draft picks, and the high draft picks have been panning out. Plus, they've been doing pretty good in free agency, combining the two, getting teams that are better. With the other spectrum of this, as the Cleveland Cavaliers are getting older, and that they can't sustain this group of guys too much longer. I see that some of these guys won't be there next year. That of the core guys. Not talking about Kyrie or LeBron, but and maybe Kevin Love. But the other contributing factors on that team that can have a good game or two to pull them out when LeBron doesn't or isn't the main focus and doesn't do what LeBron normally would do. That these other teams, like the Boston Celtics, who clearly weren't ready yet, but they're not far off, or the Toronto Raptors, or maybe the Milwaukee Bucks, just to name a few. I know I'm leaving some other teams out, or even the Atlanta Hawks. I'm leaving other teams out. Not that I'm disparaging them, it's because I can't think of them right now, are going to be challenging in the very near future for the being the king of the hill in the Eastern Conference in the NBA. But these two, a trilogy, some people say it's boring because these two are back again for the third time. Rubber match. Warriors won 4-2 the first time. Cleveland came back in historic fashion, down 3-1, and came back and won three in a row, and two in Golden State. So this is going to be payback, supposedly, for the Golden State Warriors, with an additional piece of one of the best players, one of the best three players in the NBA in Kevin Durant. So, boy, oh boy, I'm looking forward to this, but I don't think it's going to last long.
You think it's going to be a sweep?
Let me put it this way. I'd be surprised if the Cleveland Cavaliers win two games. I would be surprised at that. These guys are on a mission, plus the fact, not just the Warriors of last year, now they have KD. He's been taking a lot of hits. And if you've been listening to KD's talk all through the year, and especially in the playoffs, he's got a huge chip on his shoulder. And he's gotten to the point now that they're up against the Warriors. I know everybody. They're up against the Cavaliers, and I know everybody's picking the Warriors. But they still got that chip on their shoulder, and it's infectious throughout that team. What happened last year is not going to happen this year. They're not going to get completely like they may have gotten throughout the playoffs in the East and Western Conference Finals, where they're up by a lot, and they start to relax. These guys are going to put the hammer down in the beginning, in my opinion, and keep it down no matter what the score may be at the end of any game that they play. They're on a mission. They may be close games. They may be close games, but I'd be surprised if the Cleveland Cavaliers win two games.
I'm giving them two games because I think they're going to just have they're going to win one at home. I do believe that the Warriors are going to win it on the road at Cleveland in game six. But that's a bold statement, Mr. Taylor, a very bold statement. And it's nothing like being at a Warriors home game. I've been to, the Wizards weren't in the playoffs when I went to their game, but a playoff game at Oracle Arena is deafening. It is deafening. In Cleveland, I mean, it's not deafening because they're expecting so much, But the fans in that area are just, they're psycho, for real. Really. The Bay Area fans are out of this world. But let's transition from this to football. And let's stick in the Bay Area. So we've got David Carr not being signed to an extension yet, but I'm quite sure that the Raiders will lock him up. They've got Marshawn Lynch, Crabtree, Cooper. The offense is just looking great. Defense is looking okay as well, fantasy-wise. Well, we're going to talk about a couple teams, and then we're going to give a preview of the divisions. Fantasy-wise, give me an outlook for the Oakland / Nevada Raiders, or Las Vegas Raiders, whatever you want to call them.
I think what happened last year is going to continue with the improvement of, hopefully, let me put it this way, and it's still, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, the Marshawn Lynch factor. What Marshawn Lynch are we going to get? We're going to get what Marshawn Lynch 2 or 3 years ago, or are we going to get a Marshawn Lynch of the last year he played in the NFL? Meaning, I think he was averaging less than 3 yards a carry. Is that going to improve because he's behind a very good offensive
better
line?
Better offensive line?
Yeah, very good offensive line. Probably one of the best top, if not the best offensive line, top two, right behind the Dallas Cowboys. It could be, depending on your opinion, some say they're the best. Some say the Dallas Cowboys, but they're up there within the top two. And the fact is Marshawn Lynch is going to be 32, if I'm not mistaken, same age as Adrian Peterson, if I'm not mistaken about that. So, any coming back from a year off. So, you don't know what you're going to get. You're being held out of OTAs. So, we don't know what type of running back that we're going to get. Now, say to pump him up, he's supposed to be in excellent shape, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay. But is it the name or is the ability of Marshawn Lynch going to be the good or bad for the Oakland Raiders? They only have two young backs behind them, Washington and Jalen Richardson, if I'm not mistaken. So you just have to wait and see on that front. On the other front, in the passing game, that's where they excelled because they even though that Latavius Murray had a very good year last year, he's not there anymore. They had a very good passing year with Derek Carr and Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. In my opinion, and maybe I could be mistaken, but in my opinion, Amari Cooper has been somewhat of a slight disappointment for the simple fact is I think they expected more from him, and he drops totally too many balls and has been inconsistent in route running. So are we going to see a three-year leap in Amari Cooper, or are we going to see the same with what we saw last year, a rather inconsistent Amari Cooper? And a more consistent and older veteran in Michael Crabtree. I'm thinking Michael Crabtree is still going to be the consistent player that he was. David Carr is still going to be concentrating on getting the ball to Michael Crabtree. Amari Cooper has to improve his hands, has to be more consistent. Until I see that, I consider Amari Cooper notch below Michael Crabtree because of that inconsistency. That, yes, sir, because of that inconsistency. And I could be wrong, and my rankings will come out in the later part of the summer, probably somewhere in August, where I talk about the quarterback, wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs, probably in that order. running backs being last. But I see Amari Cooper, just like last year, Amari Cooper, in my opinion, was too inconsistent, and Michael Crabtree was the better of the two wide receivers, clearly, in Oakland. And then you got, I'm trying to think of the guy's name while I was talking, that he's on the roster and he filled in. He was the speed burner in there, that number
Roberts?
10, if I'm not mistaken. He was number 10, if I'm not mistaken, on the roster.
I believe his last name is Roberts.
Okay. Well, okay. And then you have him. I think he's probably the slot receiver or whatever, and he turned out to be a pretty good outlet for Derek Carr.
Well, fantasy-wise, also forgetting Richard Rodgers. You forgot Richard Rodgers went out to Oakland as well.
I don't see him doing too much. I mean, not being anything consistent out there. I don't think he's going to be anything consistent out there. I mean, the main focus of the offense will be running the football with Marshawn Lynch and trying to get the ball to Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree with a sprinkle of Seth Roberts. Tight end wise, they also have Jared Cook. So Jared Cook is probably
that's who it is.
In itself, it has been a disappointment ever since he's been in the league. That's why he's bounced around from the Rams to the Packers, and now he's with the Oakland Raiders because he has very inconsistent hands. So, fantasy wise, Jared Cook, I know they have occasionally throw to the tight end, but I can't on a consistent week to week basis consider Jared Cook a viable tight end option in fantasy. No way.
Well, okay. Before you move forward, mm-hmm. I'm going to make a quick pitch about that, because here's the thing: Rosario and Wilford were targeted a lot by David Carr for the reason that you mentioned, that Amari Cooper had quite a few drops. He wasn't as open as you would think he would be. But I attribute that to the fact that teams were double-teaming him and leaving Crabtree one-on-one. And last year, Crabtree just showed his butt, and people are going to pay more attention to him. Well, Rosario and Wilford.
Rosario is no longer there.
I know. I got it. What I'm saying is, last year, they proved that when they couldn't get it to Crabtree, they couldn't get it to Cooper or Roberts, that the tight end was an option. Now, Cook is a big guy.
Consistent option. That's the point. When you're dealing with fantasy, you want somebody consistent.
I got it. But Cook is a big blocking tight end who can also catch your intermediate route. He also has decent hands when you throw him the deep ball. It's just, for whatever reason, I think there's a contact issue. Because when you put him in the confined space with the short and the short passes, he gets the alligator hands because he knows he's going to get hit. Intermediate,
he's a tight end.
He improved.
He's a tight end.
I got it. I'm just giving you an observation.
The tight end is supposed to operate for the most part in the middle of the freaking field, so he's going to get hit. As a tight end, what good are you?
Well, he's a blocking tight end that can catch the ball. He's like a Tololo, down in Atlanta. He's a tight end that's a glorified offensive lineman, but can catch the ball. So, you know, he's not the first, second, or third option in most cases, but he is an option. So I'm just saying, he's not going to be my starting tight end. But if I need a backup just in case or whatever, I'd consider him because of the offensive weaponry that Oakland has and the opportunities he'll have to go one-on-one and be open, especially when you got Crabtree and Cooper on the outsides. Roberts might take a little bit of shine from him, but I think he'll it was a good move on his part to go to a team that doesn't use a tight end that much, but when they do, it's in a one-on-one situation, and it's not playing a zone, because that's where he gets crushed, playing a zone. And to go back a little further than what you said, I think Marshawn Lynch is going to be healthier and more productive this year than he was last year and a half in Seattle, because in my opinion, after that Super Bowl game where they didn't run him in against the Patriots on the last down, and again, after Max Unger left, to go to New Orleans and Jimmy Graham went to Seattle, that offensive line went downhill. So for the past 2 years or 3 years since he's been gone, actually, that offensive line in Seattle has been very porous. You put him behind Donald Penn and the rest of those guys in Oakland, and I agree with you, that might be one of the best offensive lines, although I hate to say it, but the Cowboys, in my opinion, have the best offensive line in football. But you put him behind that offensive line, and you have two top receivers on the outside, making sure there aren't 7-8 people in the box at all times. You have a guy that doesn't need to play the whole game. You have a guy that'll get you the yards you need and get you in position to either get a touchdown or at least a field goal. Do I think that Oakland's going to go to a run-heavy package or offense? No. No, because that's not their strength. Marshawn will get a lot of touches, but I don't think he's going to get over 300 touches this year. I highly doubt that. But he's going to be effective, in my opinion. I think he's going to be effective. But go ahead, go to the defensive side of the ball, and we'll move forward.
Well, they have to improve on the defensive side of the ball. And look at the division that they're in with a team that likes to throw the ball in San Diego and a very good runner, Melvin Gordon, that came back in dramatic fashion last year with, 12 touchdowns. Pat on my back for promoting Melvin Gordon last year and being proven right. Besides being negative,
we're talking about Oakland.
Being attacked
about
negatively
about
but I digress. That their passing offense and probably a improved offensive line and offensive play in the San Diego Chargers or Los Angeles Chargers. I'm sorry, and
What does that got to do with Oakland's defense?
Wait a minute. Can you ask me a question? And I'm going to get to that. And you have the Denver Broncos who are going to be who also shored up the offensive line, who are going to be running the football, and as soon as they decide on a quarterback, have two dynamic wide receivers in Emmanuel Sanders and Demetrius Thomas. And then you have the Demaryius Thomas. You're right. I'm sorry. And then you have the Kansas City Chiefs, who were very good last year and are very consistent. So their defense is going to have to step up. They have a tougher schedule than they had last year. To include twice each one of their division opponents. And I see that they're going to have to step up and a lot of people are putting the cart before the horse. In my opinion, on this team, I know they got they're young and they're mixing veteran pieces in, but don't put them in the AFC Conference Championship just quite yet. They're looking for teams that are going to challenge the reigning Super Bowl champions. This may be a possible team, but you have to wait and see how these pieces gel together, especially now they have a older running back. This is an older, I still emphasize that, an older running back that's been away for a year, and you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what you're going to get. You know what you hope that you're going to get, but you don't know what you're going to get. And that could be a good thing or a bad thing. You have to wait and see about that. The defense, I see the defense doing the same thing they did last year. Were they in the middle of the pack, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah, and I see them being the same way. I really don't see them taking a really big leap up to be an elite defense. I still see them being in the middle of the pack. And it's a young team with, like I said, sprinkled with some veterans in key spots. And a lot of people are jumping on that Raider bandwagon. I say the typical, I would say party line, but what I'm saying is temper your expectations.
Here we go. We're not even in June, and he's already breaking out temper your expectations, ladies and gentlemen. Listen.
You won't hear me.
Well,
you won't hear me saying that too much. Let me put it this way. And I want you. I don't want a biased opinion. I want an honest opinion. Okay? An honest opinion. Going into this year, not last year. Last year is different. Going into this year, who has a better shot of getting to the AFC Championship, Oakland or Texans?
Oakland. Because
that's the problem.
I want you to listen.
I'm going to tell you why. The quarterback play.
That's the main reason. There is a surefire starter, proven starter, and capable starter at quarterback for the Oakland Raiders. Whereas in Houston, you don't know if it's going to be Watson. Right now they're saying it's Savage, but you don't know if he's going to finish it out and be the quarterback. There's still a little disarray on the offensive side of the ball, like fixing the offensive line. Getting a decent number two to step up, because Fuller did a good job last year, but he tapered off towards the middle of the season and the end of the season, because Hopkins, he's not that number one that can take him by himself. Fedorowicz is a good tight end. He's a very good tight end, but I don't think he's going to be your next top five, top 10 tight end in fantasy, especially when you don't have a surefired, proven quarterback to step in there and do the job that needs to be done. So this is unbiased. This is simply – here's the deal. Oakland's offense with the Texans' defense is the best team in the NFL, but you can't do that. Oakland's offense with its own defense, they're coming out of the West. Houston's offense and their defense, they'll be lucky if they get third in the South. And I'm putting Jacksonville ahead of them.
See, Victor, and I'm going to say this because it's obvious that you have an affinity to do negative things and talk negative way about the Texans, but that's okay.
What?
Right now, you're jumping on what people are talking about, the Titans and the Jaguars and all the moves that they made. and probably I'm not. Maybe it could be because of Andrew Luck coming back, and Indianapolis Colts, and they were the number one defense last year without J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt coming back healthy. Wait a minute, and they have two better quarterbacks than they had last year. Two better quarterbacks than they had last year. One of them's going to get the starting job. May not keep it because of the other one pressing him. But they have two better quarterbacks than they have last year.
But the problem is, as you just said, but Jerry, you just said it. You just said it. The quarterback might not keep his job because the other one's pressing. You don't have that problem in Oakland.
No.
You don't.
The only reason I'm saying he may not keep his job is because the one quarterback that's a veteran is injury prone. That's why I say he may not keep his job. Not because of ineffective play. He may not keep his job. Let me put it this way. This scenario played out 2 years, 2 or 3 years ago, and I was beating a huge drum last time I seen this same scenario. And this is a scenario I saw. You had a college quarterback playing on a big time team, very good team, go to the college championship and win it. Play in big games and play very well. And the Houston Texans picked up, and the other one, when it came time to do it, for whatever reason, they didn't. And both those quarterbacks, one for sure, has played well when he was given the opportunity. And the other one is in the same scenario, the same mold that's on the Houston Texans. The first one I'm talking about, and I told you about this guy, and Cincinnati will not give him up, and it's a damn good reason why they won't, it's an A.J. McCarron. Now, he could be a starting quarterback on a lot of teams that are looking for quarterbacks, but Cincinnati won't give him up because they know what they have. Because they know this guy's played in big games, in high-pressure games, and has performed well. The other guy, same scenario, played in high-pressure games against one of the best teams in the country twice and performed well under pressure when it's needed, and that's Deshaun Watson. So A.J. McCarron was disparaged when he first came out, and supposedly the so-called experts were surprised when he got his chance to play. I wasn't, because I was beating his drum when you knew I was talking about A.J. McCarron before, when he was drafted, and people are talking about him now. He's like close to the level of maybe a Jimmy Garoppolo, and people wanting him to be on their team, but they can't get away from the team that he's on.
Oh, my goodness.
And the same scenario that we have with the quarterback that's with the Houston Texans now in Deshaun Watson. So when you say that we don't have two quarterbacks, we have two quarterbacks. If one stays healthy, I think he'll play well. Not now, maybe we'll wait and see, but I think he'll play well. But the point I'm making is this. The last 3 years, this team has been 9-7, 9-7, and 9-7, if I'm not mistaken. They won the division back-to-back on sporadic quarterback play, musical chairs with the quarterback. Now that quarterback position has settled down quite a bit from when Bill O'Brien first got there. If they're able to get to the playoffs, win the division, and go one or two levels into the playoffs with the quarterbacks that they had running around last year, the much better grounded quarterbacks that they have now leads to me believe that they will get further than most people think. Now,
okay.
I'm saying it now. That don't be surprised. And I'm saying it now. Don't be surprised if you see the Houston Texans in the AFC Championship. Don't be surprised.
Listen. All this bravado means nothing until
I laid it out to you. It's not bravado. It's
listen,
fact. All these
okay,
facts.
Okay, fine.
All these are facts.
Fine. They're alternate facts. I got it. But here's the deal. Here's the deal.
Yeah. I'm listening.
You know, yeah, you better listen because.
I'm listening. I always listen.
Okay, so you asked the question, which team is better and this year coming up, and which team has a better chance of going to the AFC Championship, the Oakland Raiders or the Houston Texans? I said Oakland. You being a homer. Can I finish? I let you finish, right? So you said the Houston Texans. All I'm saying is put your money where your mouth is. It, you know, we start our predictions next week, but we can always place a wonderful Memorial Day wager right now.
We're not doing that yet. We're not doing that yet.
Oh, no. What'd you say? We're not there yet?
No, you're right. We're not there yet. We are not yet.
No.
When we talk about the AFC South, that's when we'll get there. I was really specifically talking about the Houston Texans, and you know that. Stop it. What I'm talking about.
But you were supposed to be talking about the Oakland Raiders. How we got to your Houston Texans, I don't know. But here's what I'll do.
Everyone's touting the Raiders, and there is more teams than the Raiders that can challenge the New England Patriots.
Oh, I agree.
Pittsburgh Steelers are a really strong team that can challenge them. I think the Houston Texans. Let me put it this way. The ineffective play in the second half of the Houston Texans versus the New England Patriots caused the Patriots to win that. The Patriots won that.
Jerry, because the three
interceptions caused the Patriots to win that game.
Okay.
Gave it to them.
But again, what you said was, this is what you said, not me. Forget about last year.
Absolutely.
That's what you said. Forget about what caused whatever happened last year. We're talking about this year. And we're talking about a team that doesn't have a settled quarterback situation that needs to fix their offensive line. Defense, as I said, if you put Oakland's offense with Houston's defense, you will have the best team in the NFL. But you can't
do that.
I understand that. So the one and only bet that I'm proposing to you.
Haven't gotten there yet.
Well, no. I'm putting it out there. Because we're going to see how sure you are. That's fine. You don't have to grab it. But at least you understand that you don't have the confidence that you're spouting now about your team.
That doesn't pull me in either.
No.
Though. Don't even go.
I'm not trying to pull you in with it. No, I'm not. You asked me for an unbiased. You asked me for an unbiased opinion. And when I gave it to you, you went on this rant about your team and the potential of your team. And I'm like, okay, the main difference between the two is the quarterback play. And you went on this soliloquy about how, you know, A.J. McCarron, who isn't even on the Houston Texans, is this, that, and the third. And then you brought it to Deshaun Watson. And I agree with you. Deshaun Watson has proven he can play at a high level. The problem is he's not the starting quarterback right now for the Houston Texans.
You don't know that.
Right now, on their depth chart, if you go to the Houston Texans website, Tom Savage is listed as the starter. And that is a fact. That is not hyperbole. That is not myth. That is fact. Now, the only thing I have for you, because you've talked it up. Next week, we're going to start with the AFC West. Or if it gets you a response from you, you know what? Because I want a response from you from my wager. We're going to do the AFC South next week. Because I want to know I want to know. Yes.
Whatever.
I want you to answer my wager. My wager is our usual denomination, but it is which team, either Oakland or Houston, makes it furthest in the playoffs. That's it. Now, if Houston doesn't make the playoffs and Oakland does, I automatically win. But if they both make the playoffs, then we just, you know, we see who ends up finishing higher than the other. But that's a very simple, very easy wager. Since you believe that Houston's going to win the South, I believe Oakland's going to win the West. You know, even though the West might be a little bit tougher this year, but we'll get to that when we get to it. But that's the one and only wager I'm putting out there this year, because you got these cojones saying they're going to the AFC. Don't be surprised if Houston goes to the AFC championship. Well, that will surprise me if they do. So we'll do the AFC West next week to kick things off. And we'll get an answer from Jerry to my wager. Is that fair, Jerry?
Anything you like. This is your show.
So you're gonna give me an answer to my wager next week.
What's next week?
It's the first week of June. It's the 3rd.
Okay. Now, is it this week?
I said next week, bro.
Okay.
You mean this week coming up?
You'll get my answer next week.
Well, I would prefer if you answer the question now, since you made that bold statement about Houston going to the championship, to the AFC championship, that is.
Well, I appreciate you preferring that I answer this week, but it's next week's next
week. It is my show. It is my show, like you said, right?
That is, but it is my my choice.
Opinion.
Whether I want to respond to it this week or when the show is actually taking place, which is next week.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that is backing down from what you say. I mean, that was perfect politics. That was perfect politics by Jerry Taylor.
See,
but it's
you
okay.
You got to understand the mentality of Mr. FSP. He likes to try to goad me into to saying things before I speak. I mean, before I think.
You already did.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Oh,
it's
my
not,
goodness.
It's not happening.
Okay.
I may have done it in the past, but we're not going to go there. We're not doing things that did in the past in the present. So
already did it. You shot off your mouth about your team, and they're going to suck this year. But let's save that for next week. AFC South.
You put in that nice slap, backhanded slap, and then you say, let's move. But it's okay.
Well, I'm just saying.
I know your modus operandi, so we can go on.
I love
fine,
you,
TJ. I can take the hit from a person like you. We can move on.
I love you, Jerry. We're about to get off air anyway. But here's the deal.
Thank you. I expect that.
It's okay. Please do. Please expect it. But we're about to get off air. I just want to let everybody know I paid Jerry $40 because I got to go to bed. It's your $40 fee for your league has been paid. I was the very first one to pay.
Now, I'm glad. Thank you very much.
We got
Thank you very much for the contribution to the JT fund.
Here's what's gonna happen, ladies and gentlemen. I'm gonna dominate this dude's league. I'm gonna dominate my league, and I'm gonna collect all the money. He ain't even paid his own fee in his own league. That's how messed up Jerry is. But I love him to death.
Well, wait a minute. When is the cutoff date? Do you know when the cutoff date is?
Hey, I already paid. It don't matter to me. I paid.
Well,
the
point is, the cutoff date isn't even anywhere close. It's like 3 months away, at least.
I did a net 30. You know what I'm saying? That's accounting talk.
Whoopie damn do for you.
Okay. All right. Well, just like the Houston Texans won't make it to the AFC Championship. So, you know,
keep pressing. Keep pressing. It's not going to work. Keep pressing.
What are you talking about? Nobody's pressing.
Okay.
Tom Savage might be pressing.
Okay, Jeff. Okay.
Jeff Sessions? Really? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You call me Jeff Sessions? That's wrong. Hey, Donald, stop it. Stop it, Donald.
Okay.
I don't want her to slap your hand again. She doesn't need
who's
to slap your hand again.
Who's the biggest L?
Listen, I'm not getting into that right now.
I know you're
But you're the biggest loser. You are the biggest loser.
No, L doesn't mean loser to me. May start with an L, but it ends with an R. So
loser does end with an R.
Yeah, but it's not. That's not the word I'm looking for. I think you know what starts with an L and ends with an R. It's got two letters in between, and they're both vowels.
Huh? Oh, liar? Okay. I had to think about that.
Oh, boy.
All right, JT. I got to get out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank y'all for listening to our program as usual. JT will be on tomorrow with the master plan. What are you talking about tomorrow, JT?
I'm going to be talking about a little bit of fantasy. And it's not going to be specific fantasy players, but about fantasy.
Houston's going to go to the championship. That's a fantasy.
Okay. You know, let me tell you something, Victor. And you and others that have been on this show, regardless of their hosts or just call-ins, have each year, and without a shadow of doubt, since we've been on, I've been disparaged about my predictions. And each year, you come back and say, you know, you were right about that. I was surprised about it. Yeah. That's a fact. That is a fact. And you know it.
I can tell you that's not a fact. I can point out when.
I can chronicle it to you. First one was Arian Foster. Second one was Jamal Charles. Third one was Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and Ben Roethlisberger, because I got disparaged because I had all three on my team at one point, and you guys were up and down me like that was the biggest mistake and blah blah blah. Last year it was Melvin Gordon. Hello, Jerry.
Let me explain something. That's seven times. We've been doing it for 9 years. So the year before that, you were totally wrong on all of your football predictions website.
I freely admit it. One time.
No. You said every time. You said every time.
Oh, you know. And then, now you're being literal. When I've been right more than I've been wrong. I was totally wrong last year, and I freely admit that was my worst year. But every time I've been talking about fantasy, for the most part, when I'm talking about fantasy and I've given you somebody that no one's thinking about, and it comes up being big time in fantasy. And I got a bunch of them this year. Oh, boy. A bunch of them. Already. As long as they don't get hurt, I got a bunch of them. And this fact, wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs. Oh, boy. Oh boy, I can't wait. This is probably going to be one of the best, not just me, for anybody to play fantasy, because there's so many options out there. Oh my God, there's so many options out there. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous out there.
Well, I want you to calm your jets.
Whether it's a 10-team, 12-team, or 14-team league, or even maybe a 16-team league, there's a lot of talent out there that you shouldn't not have a decent team. Week in and week out, as long as they're healthy.
Well, with that being said, I guess that's what Jerry's going to talk about, his prowess.
No, I'm not talking
about that.
But when I'm attacked like that, by saying that, I don't know what I'm talking about, and I'm wrong
oh, no,
more
no,
than
no,
right.
No, one said that. No one said that. No one.
These guys that I brought out that nobody, and I'm absolutely saying nobody was thinking about seriously, and I brought them out, and they turned out to be one of the best, if not the best, back in fantasy.
Well, here's what I'm gonna tell you, ladies and gentlemen. He's gonna talk about it tomorrow. But if you go to spotonradios.com right now, you can see the predictions that Jerry made 2 years ago.
Last year. Absolutely horrible.
No. It wasn't last year. It wasn't last year. It wasn't last year. It was year before last. Because Melvin Gordon was your big Melvin Gordon was your big guy last year. And I doubted you at first, but then I drafted him in a few of my late drafts. And he panned out to be a very, very good pickup. But towards the end of the season, when I needed him, he disappeared. But it's okay.
Well, he only disappeared because he got hurt. He only disappeared when he got hurt. I can't predict injury. I can't predict injury.
It's okay. But tomorrow, the master will be talking about fantasy things. As I said, one of those fantasies will be Houston going further in the playoffs than the Raiders, which is not going to happen. And I'm not even a full-fledged Raider fan. I've become an adopted Raider fan from living out there.
A lot of people jumping on that bandwagon, man, are going to be disappointed this year. I'm telling you, they're going to be disappointed. Okay.
We'll talk next Saturday. We're going to talk about the AFC South. Jerry's going to answer the bet, as he should, since he spouted off about it. And we'll have some fun. It's only going to be an hour and a half show. So we're going to get right into it. And we're going to, the NBA finals will be going on. We might touch those after we do football. We're open up with football. And we're going to go until we finish talking about the four teams of the AFC South. With that being said, again, thank you, Jerry, for coming on. And anybody and everybody that was listening to us.
Thank you.
And we will see you guys next week. We are out of here.
See ya.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble.
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports.